So welcome to the use case realization call for April 15th, 2020. So we're going to be going over a number of things today. So we have some number of topics to talk about. I'm going to first cover some info that I got from Yuri last week. He presented on the CDS project, which was really useful and informative. I think if you get a chance, I think I would encourage you to listen to that if you missed that meeting. He added a couple of additional information I just wanted to point you to for CDS modeling concepts, the CDS Frankfurt architecture, and the CDS developer guide. And there was quite a bit of interest in learning more about the runtime execution for CDS and how CDS works for some runtime operations, such as SO building, clamp, policy, SDCs, CDS packages, and so forth, and then end-to-end onboarding and orchestration for CNF. Samsung and Orange has been working on that, onboarding and orchestration and post-instantiation, plug and play from Zoo and Oscar, at Ericsson closed loop for VFW and AT&T and Orange and
Timo Chunt.
Oh, hi Timo, yeah, great, thank you. Okay, so I also wanted to just go over some of the meetings that are coming up. Let's see.
Ben, we can't hear you.
Oh, okay. You can't hear me? Oh, am I on mute? Can you hear me?
No, we can. Yeah, now we can.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Maybe just need to speak up. Okay, so I just wanted to point to some of the meetings that are coming up. Today, we were supposed to talk to David McBride, but he got pulled away because he's planning this virtual face-to-face thing or helping out the TSC and RC0 and stuff. So he said he kind of got swamped, I guess. So he asked me to reschedule for after the virtual face-to-face. I said, okay. Next week, I have a link to the virtual face-to-face. We will be, and I asked Timo to join us today to talk about some of that and what's going on there, because he's leading a lot of that effort. And the following week, Andy, Mayor, Deng Hui, and Ophir will be joining us to talk about the modeling and modeling information and high-level requirements planning page for R7, and just some Q&A stuff for modeling happening in R7. And so I think that'll be useful. So then this is the rescheduled meeting for David. I said he has some plan to move to this Jira dashboard-based release management, which I think would be good to learn about. of course, the current release Q&A, anything, questions you have about the process of release management or integration in RC0 or RC1. And then independent of that, because we'll probably have a little bit of time left over, we'll also maybe recap some of what happened at the virtual face-to-face. And as you'll notice, we've had a series of talks, which is great. A lot of good talks from a lot of people, which means we're kind of not going over some of the sort of regular stuff we need to go over, which we'll go over some today as well. So we are in RC0 planning. We want to talk about new requirements and use cases that are coming up, the wiki page, pages and stuff, and information I can share from the architecture, the way of working process, which I have a dedicated meeting for on May 20, and some of the use case discussions and starting up the R7.0 spreadsheet. And then after that, this is the thing that I just mentioned, Yuri with the discussion on which he gave on the April 8th with the CDS Designer UI client. That was Sarah giving a sort of walkthrough of the pages, the prototype pages, and then the CDS customer building blocks and flexible workflow designer. And then he's going to follow up with a runtime execution use cases and stuff. Zhu has helped me out a little bit with getting info into the Read the Docs, and I've gotten through, along with Hagoop's help, mostly the way through the process. So I do want to share for those of you, Joanne and I are trying to get a Read the Docs entry into for our for our use case, and I know Vimal and Marge will want to do the same for the harmonization use case. So I've gotten through a good chunk of the process now, and I've opened up a Jira. I've cloned the repository. I've made the change, and I'm just now communicating with Hagoop to see. There's this TOX, T-O-X, sort of document validator thing that I'm trying to figure out if I need to use, and then I'll be ready to push it in. I'm trying to still figure out also the Garrett process. I guess there's a Garrett review as well, which I think Mark Morgan said I think he would open. So I'm kind of modeling through the process, and when I get through it, hopefully I'll be able to share what I did, and I'm building up some slides to help people who are completely new to the thing to do that. At some point, of course, maybe not June, but maybe even later, Tracy did say there will be supposedly another PlugFest happening. It's been rescheduled to September/October, I believe. So, and there was supposed to be a panel discussion that we were due to have in the ONS event that got canceled. So that at some point will be, and she has said that she's enthusiastic that will happen at some point, and that there will be the panel, a Q&A panel eventually. So we'll see what happens there. Okay, so I'm gonna kind of turn this over to Timo. Do you wanna just share, or do you want me to kind of walk through some of this, or why don't you share?
Okay, let's see. So I guess that is now visible. Okay, can you now see my screen?
Yeah, thanks.
Okay, good. So, so this is the landing page when you go and check what the next week's virtual technical event is about. So Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So this is, there's some logistics information at the top, and I think just want to highlight that even if it's a virtual event, then we need to register, so everybody needs to go through that exercise. The rest of the page has served as a kind of collection point for proposed topics for ONAP mostly, and some of them for OPNFV, because this is a joint LFN technical event where ONAP, OPNFV, and CNTT projects are meeting. And then I guess what is kind of interesting for this audience is the ONAP schedule that was not there until today afternoon European time. So this is what we worked with Catherine on this morning, and here it is. So 3 days, starting at 1 p.m. UTC for 3 hours on each day, and we are going to have three parallel tracks. They are not fully parallel in a way that track one or Zoom Bridge one is the most populated one, and it's mostly then concentrating on the requirements, next release requirements discussions, and then the second track or bridge two is then kind of an other major track, and the track three is sort of an late addition because there were more topics than what we would have been able to fit with just two parallel tracks. And the fourth track there is for the joint sessions that we have then on Tuesday and Wednesday, and so second day Wednesday and Thursday scheduled for the agenda. So the structure still, sorry for scrolling back and forth, so about the structure, so we will have just a very short opening remarks from Heather and Catherine, and then we dive into the actual topics, and then at the end of the day we will have a very kind of short sync up session, sort of trying to follow what we had in Prague face to face. So there we had at the end of the day a kind of a daily huddle. So anything that kind of is worthwhile to raise, anything that we would like to improve for the next day, or any questions, anything, we can then address those at the end of the day. So the same appears then on Wednesday, and then for Thursday the third, then obviously there is no such thing, but there is the closing of the event. And yes, we were, at least that was the true intention, that we would have all the proposed topics included to the agenda, with some slight modification. We merged some topics and maybe squeezed some, so allowed for maybe a shorter time than what was requested. So as this is now out, and I just while joining this session, I sent out an email to the community with the link to the page. So let's see if there's any comments coming in, if we will need to introduce any changes to the agenda. But basically that's, I would say that in a large extent, this is then how it will look. And obviously the Zoom bridge information will appear there on this page as well, once we have them from the LF staff, which ones exactly we are going to use. And I guess the last remark is that the idea is that the topic owners will then provide the material of their session and kind of upload them to this page, to the cell of their indicating their topic. So we will have the information then later on for our consumption. Okay, I think that's very shortly what I was thinking to share. Any questions?
Yeah, can you say something about the color, the green, the red, the yellow?
Okay, so there is a sort of legend here at the top. So the blue ones are the joint sessions, and they also appear only on that joint session column. Green ones are the ones that we kind of thought that are more mostly primarily for the planning, Gillin planning, so requirements and all that stuff. And they mostly appear on this Zoom bridge one. Security, like how, what is the, what seems to be a regular behavior. They had a fairly large number of topics proposed, so it kind of varies for their own color code, if you like. And then there was another block of proposed topics, which was about this ETSI alignment and cloud native related topics. And then others, which was kind of a single topic that didn't really warrant for any own coloring. So that's, there is no kind of other meaning behind it. It maybe mostly helped us when we were putting these topic proposals to the schedule, that we saw how it then turned out. Yep.
Okay, so there's going to be one major common bridge that we all open with. Is that bridge one or?
Yeah, so basically these are like meeting rooms. So the Zoom bridge one is one meeting room, bridge two is another one, and bridge three is the third one. So they will be kind of in use for our virtual event throughout these hours that we have. So from 1 to 4 UTC on each of these days. So if there will be some needs for additional, so if there's any latecomers proposing additional topics, then it is possible that there will be other or additional entries into bridge two or three. Bridge one is fully occupied for the whole duration of the virtual event. And if there's any proposals, then the guidance is that please send them to me. So approach me. Don't start editing these, either the proposal page or the schedule page by yourself.
Yeah, do you mind post the link to the chat room? It's easier.
Yep, I will. I think you have it also on your inbox, but for sure.
And also, it is just 3 hours a day, right?
This is what, yeah, there was some weeks ago, I guess months ago or so, there was a poll. Can't remember if it must have been a TSC poll or was it a community poll. But anyways, there was a poll on sort of how many days during this week and how many hours each day, and 3 days, 3 hours per day was the winner. I think the other communities decided differently. So if I just quickly show that, CNTT, currently CNTT and fundamentally at the end, CNTT and OPNFV planned their schedule as one. So their work is to most part so much interrelated that they didn't decided that that they put all the OPNFV topics into the CNTT schedule as well. And you can see here that CNTT starts already 11 a.m. UTC, which is fairly early for Pacific time zone. And then they will end their day at 1600 or 4 p.m. UTC. So they are meeting 5 hours each day, so that was their decision then to spend longer hours with this virtual event.
Can you say something about the bridges? Do they overlap between these events, these different groups?
What would that mean?
Overlapping? So are the CNTT using the same Zoom bridges as ONA is? Or?
No, all of the projects, all of the communities have their own. So I think I think ZNTT has two or three bridges kind of at all times in their use. So they are using their own two bridges here. I think OpenFV has the same. And obviously ONAP has, I don't know, 13 or 14 bridges. So we will use three of our own. There is a kind of basic request that the regular project meetings that would take place during the virtual event, they would be cancelled. So then that would guarantee that that these bridges would be then available for the virtual event. That's gonna be, of course, it has an impact on ONAP work because I counted quickly. I think we have something like 30, more than 30 meetings during this. So regularly more than 30 meetings during those 3 days, 3 hours. So it's going to be affecting quite a few of the regular weekly calls that we have. So I think that is going to be an interesting exercise, mostly for Kenny to make sure that the bridges that we use for virtual event are actually in the event use and not for any regular project meeting.
Yeah, so I got an email from Kenny about taking a poll with sort of house cleaning or housekeeping. Mm. He asked, can I cancel your meeting next week? And mm-hmm. I said yes, but I think he polled everybody who had any kind of meeting.
Yeah, because I mean, it's like this program committee that has been working on this schedule doesn't really have any powers to cancel anybody's meeting. So it's just a kind of a guidance that we wish that the project then would follow. But of course, if a project feels that their meeting next week during the virtual event would be so important, then of course they will go with their meeting.
So do you know if the people are all going to be, is everybody in room one, Zoom Bridge one? Is that one of the, that's one of our 13 Zoom bridges, right? Yeah. And Zoom 2 and Zoom 3, I assume, are the same. So in theory, you could have, I guess you probably could have some of the other meetings as the other virtual use, but most people will be on these meetings, I assume, anyway.
Yeah, this is, I mean, that's the case, that we only need three bridges so there for this virtual event from ONAP. So there will be roughly 10 bridges available for some other use if people would like to.
Side meetings or something.
Yeah. And then I think there was some suggestion by LF staff that there would be this sort of virtual side meeting possibilities, like trying to imitate what we do in real face-to-face meetings, that when people find kind of an interesting topic they want to discuss and there is a free room, then of course they can go there and have their discussion. So kind of something similar, but with the kind of Zoom bridges that you can size when the need arises. I don't really know how that in practice will work, but I'm sure we will find out if that will happen. But those will not be part of kind of this ONAP schedule. It would be managed and organized somehow separately. But I believe there will be some guidance on how that works if it will be implemented.
So one thing in the email that I sent you the other day, you know, I counted a total of 41, and maybe you responded there were 32 ONAP meetings, and mm-hmm. you know, we said there was, if you count the 3 days times two, mm-hmm. at that time, two tracks, and meaning 6 hours a day over 3 days is 18 hours times two is 1,080 minutes divided by 41. I mean, led to only 26 minutes per per so now, entry.
Yeah, so that's why we introduced the third bridge. And then, I mean, for example, here you can see what we did. So we had a proposal from ALA for the requirements subcommittee discussing Gilin proposed requirements. And then we had another one from the 5GP NF use case team. So obviously, I mean, this is the same topic. So we just pulled this together and let's see if this 1.5 hours is going to be sufficient for all that. So definitely, yes, we now have like 27 hours worth of time for the sessions. So, and of course the proposed topics, be they 40 something or 30 something at the time, they didn't include these opening ceremonies and the closing ceremonies. So they were, and I think also the joint sessions, they were not indicated that they would, what would be the required amount of time for each. So it's it kind of made it mandatory for us to go with three bridges rather than two.
Are those joint sessions there with the other, the CNTT?
Yeah. So this one, the first one on first joint meeting that takes place then on Wednesday, that's with the CNTT and it's mostly on security topics. Then the one right after it is more driven by LFN. So there is some reason that they wanted the communities to kind of discuss what would be kind of relation or if there is with telecom infra project and LFN, what the work that is being done in LFN. And then this is something that kind of brings all three projects together. So there's its ONAP, OPNFV and CNTT. And the last one here, that's more about the, I think it was on, no, I can't remember from top of my head, maybe use the link. Right, so here's the indication of the different communities. So OVP, obviously that's something that goes with OPNFV and CNTT folks as well. So we will see that is a little bit of a stranger, at least to me. So we will find out how that joint meeting then turns out.
So I noticed just now that some of the entries had an expected duration, and I think when I submitted for the 5G use case team, we didn't have that yet.
Yeah, that is true. It was a late addition, and that's why I wrote in the email that I sent out that the topic owners, if you have any comments or kind of requests, then don't hesitate to contact, because as you see, there are kind of available slots, available time on this, especially on Bridge 3. So if you feel that your topic is not having enough time allocated for it, then we can try to make some adjustments here. But I think originally the schedule template was with 15 minute, so 1-5 intervals, but that was maybe too short. So then most of the time allocations are for half an hour, and then some are then a little bit, some are an hour, and I think the requirement discussion is then the longest. It's for 1.5 hours. That's how it is currently structured.
Just a question for this one. Even it's 1.5 hour, but we have more than 30 requirement right now, yeah. Regist.
Yes.
So in average, it's only 3 minutes per requirement.
Yeah, I don't think that's enough time. I agree with Sue. So I don't, first of yeah. all, you know, there's, I just counted just now, there's 31 presentations that's going to be made on that, on Allah's call. And our presentations, Vimal and I have at least an hour worth of material, and yeah. probably more will be better. So there's no way I think you should smash those two together. That's going to be way too short, I feel.
But I think it's also, I mean, from the planning point of view, I fully agree with you that doesn't sound like a successful execution. But then we need to see where we schedule the kind of, let's say, another requirement session during the 3 days. It is possible to schedule, as I said, there are available times. So it just requires feedback from the topic owners.
Yeah, so Vimal and I are the topic owner for the 5G PNF use case. And I was just on Ella's call the last time she held it. And she's planning to have everybody go through, give presentations of each of the proposed R7 requirements, which is, you know, there's 31 of those. That could easily take an hour and a half by itself. At a minimum, even 2 minutes a thing is an hour. So
yes, it is. And it's, yes, I agree. But it's, but I also, I believe it. Yeah. Okay. But that's something that we then need to see how that impacts the schedule. So one option, of course, is that the requirements session will be on occupying the whole of the first day, and we find a new place then for the architecture subcommittee discussion. Remains to be seen.
Yeah, okay. Just so you're aware of that.
Okay, any other questions? Okay, if not, then yes. I guess we are just then looking forward for comments from the topic owners to make this schedule to work as the best it can. Okay, thanks.
Thanks, Tima. Okay, I also wanted to, on a related topic, I also wanted to show, I guess the original OANES summit has been rescheduled and there's a date that's been picked, September 2029. So the subcommittee meeting was originally scheduled to take place immediately after this meeting. And by September, by September we'll be in the middle of Guilin. And 4 months into Guilin puts us about M3, M4 or so. So we wouldn't be ready to talk about Honolulu yet anyway, right? So did you want to say anything about this? I don't know if you were involved. I think you were originally sort of involved in, I know you were going to attend, and I don't know if other people were planning to attend this too. Okay, Tima, do you want to say anything about this?
You're asking me?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I have to say that my horizon hasn't been that far yet. I noticed that it is kind of overriding the ONES Europe. So it's pretty much the same dates as the European event was supposed to be. Because ONAP community has the virtual developer and testing event in June also, and we haven't done anything to plan that yet. So that comes first, and then we'll see what happens in September.
Okay. So I think there, Ala will be talking about some 5G stuff and some injecting security in the cloud, architectural patterns. Simuli, we know from the licensing management use case, talking about virtualized security, I guess. And so we recognize some names here that are already some of the lead presentations. So anyway, you can watch for that in September. Okay, so one other thing I did want to touch on regarding the virtual face-to-face, on the Thursday 5G calls, the team has been working on the slides we'll be presenting at the virtual face-to-face. So I just wanted to take a quick walkthrough of that. So we are talking about a number of the use cases and their requirements extensions in R7. Bulk PM, there's Ericsson is, I think, has a requirement extension for this. Sun team has given me input now. I am waiting to hear back from the network slicing team, though, for their input. The 5G service modeling is more modeling work than we hope to maybe introduce an object in R7. The configuration and persistency service Joanne and I and Tony are working on. We are going to present what we're doing there for a quick overview and the project proposal, where we are there. licensing management team, who's on the call, and Samuli and others are working the licensing management use case into R7. And the mobility standards harmonization that the Mal and Marge are working on. we'll have a slide as well. And then the 5G NRM that Yaoguang Wang, mostly CDS work, has been working on. And then we have a section on the PNF use cases for mostly onboarding, but pre-onboarding, but also onboarding, and the VNF SDK requirement there. Plug and play enhancements, there's a couple of enhancements, and then Zhu's PNF software upgrade that he's leading. And then the CMPV2 work. So those are the main major topics. So for each of those, we have an overview slide, and I put this slide in just because this is what I presented on Al's call, but I don't think I'm going to have one of these for every use case, just because looking at the schedule, I think Al's call is going to be focused on purely just this information anyway. So we'll dive down a little bit more into some of the actual details in each use case, what we kind of plan to do. So I contacted Michaela, and she's going to provide me some input for this PM data control extent, or Zhu, or Oscar. So there is this PM data control extension, I think, that's being planned. But I'm not sure yet. I'm waiting for more input on that. So I don't know, Zhu, if you were talking to Michaela, but or if you know about this, this is an aspect, I guess, of bulk PM that's being planned.
Yeah, we're working on it.
Yeah, okay. All right, thanks. And the Sun information, they had actually a couple of really, really good slides that I got from the Sun team. They actually had way more data than I could put into a slide. I had to actually compress, you see here, some of the lines here to try to make it fit. But yeah, they had, I've attended a number of their calls. They meet on every Friday if you're interested. No, we're actually saying you need to hear from. So for licensing management, there was a lot of modeling and architecture work that was done in R6, and trying to harmonize or integrate what the proposals are from the modeling team that exists already to what we might be working on. We've been looking at some flow extensions and possibly some architectural work, so we hope to extend that, I think, in the next release. I got this slide from Marge and Jamal, kind of like a high-level overview of what's in the mobility standards, and then some of the new work that's being done to extend this standards defined event in VES. And then from the Ericsson team, there's an A1 adapter extension that I'm waiting to hear back from Zoe McKilla and Oscar, and maybe John Keeney, so I just kind of copied what they have so far, but I'm expecting some input there. And then Yao Guang gave me some input on the 5G NRM work that's going on. I think there's also work that's being extended. And then Joanne and I are working on this configuration and precision service project. We did make a project proposal to the TSC, so we'll talk about that and some of the upcoming work that we are hoping to extend and kick off this new project.
Since I see it again. For the configuration one, can you take at least we haven't seen any potential impact for ISO yet. So
where are you looking at?
The one you have your slides in the slide 19.
Slide 19. Oh, okay. Oh yeah, okay.
All right. Just cross out, just be we may forget later on, yeah.
Okay. So that's so it's not writing, it's just reading, right? And I can de-emphasize that. I mean, yeah, I need to read from the database, right? But yeah.
Yeah, because they don't do orchestration for configuration yet, right?
Yeah, you want me to just delete this part, okay, like that.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it only basically is here because it integrates with the controller to do something useful, right? So.
Okay, but you just be aware, but yeah, they ask, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I think it'll be clear that, I mean, SO is not really the main, the controller is the main actor here. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, John. okay. And so the team meets every Friday. So if you're interested in this topic, you can join our calls. So we discuss, I tried to summarize sort of the main things that we're doing to set up the database. They provide Yang models and schema setup. And the main thing here, the main thing in this line here is basically getting this CM, what's not it, was CM bus event, basically. So the main thing here is that we're getting some config information up from the PNF, that's what these pieces are, and then some modeling work. The ANI syncing is basically when the database is first set up, of course you have to do a get all and then sync when there's new additions or deletions. and then of course the database development that needs to be done and getting the platform component proposal in place and just trying to kick off the new platform project. It was what we're trying to do there. So for it, again, this is mostly going to be pre-onboarding, working on the enhancing the PNF pre-onboarding. I guess I can probably delete onboarding to introduce package security for improvements on signature per artifact on the vendor delivered package defined in ETSI NFV SOL 004 version 2.7.1 and validating the PM dictionary based on the schema information. So, and I think they mentioned also license model check, I think, from ETSI SOL 004 alignment and license model check.
What is the license model check?
So they told me that I guess there's some check they would like to add just to see if, I don't know, it wasn't too clear to me. Something about a license to see if they wanted to, they could, in VNF SDK, if there's a license on board or if there's a license present that can validate that, I guess.
Can you double check that? Because what I remember is in SOZ04 license model is optional for PNF. It is some kind of requirement for VNF only.
Okay, I'll double check that. So even if it's optional, though, I mean, it could still be added and still be done.
I would appreciate you double check that, because what I remember the text they put in the SOZ04 is not applicable for PNF.
Oh, that's a stronger statement. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, I'm putting a marker to check that. Thank you. Are you aware, Zoo, of any other things happening with the pre-onboarding and boarding in R7 at all?
One thing is that you put this in your first line, you have option 2 and you have signature per artifact. This is two different things. This is not one function, this is two functions.
Okay.
Because option 2 is talking about the security on the entire package. And the signature per artifact, that's a separate additional feature being added.
Okay.
So it's this signature per artifact is applicable for both option 1 and option 2.
Okay. And this is the hashes, the hash checks, right?
Right.
Okay. And that didn't exist right before in R6 or R4.
It may exist for option 1 only in the current implementation, but I'm not too sure.
Definitely didn't exist for R2, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And both of these things are all three of these are etc/004 alignment. Okay, thank you, Zoo. And then for plug and play, there's basically some enhancements to, well, there was enhancements to work from the workflows to building blocks development, and basically they're completing that and doing as much as possible in R6, and then I think completing some of that in R7. Of course, the CMPV2 work, which didn't completely get finished in R6, is going to get finalized, I think, in R7. for SO, the service configuration to PNF by controller that Ericsson was leading, and Oscar told me that he wanted to make sure that that's integrated and completed with the work that's being done now. And of course, I touched base with Timo and Samuli about the licensing management, and they wanted to have a flow extension for the license key file and licenses from, and getting license, requesting and receiving licenses from the licensing service. This is kind of like a message exchange. Okay, and then CMP software upgrade. This was information from Zoo here. So PNF software upgrade is an aspect of software management. The purpose is to modify the software running on the PNF, and this could be used to update the PNF software to a newer or older version of the software.
I can provide you some new text.
Okay, that'd be great. Thank you, Zoo. Enable service level lifecycle management operations, the PNF software upgrade with updated service template, doing a PNF scheme update with updated service template and service template update with multiple resource instances. If you is what I have so far for our 7. Does that look okay, Zoo?
Yeah, this is the text from Frankfurt release, but
okay.
In Greeting we have some new text.
Okay, thank you. So for CMPV2, they're basically this requirement improves ONAP with security with CMPV2. It's used by a number of different use cases in R6. The basic certificate service and development was implemented. Integration with the server and client to the certificate service was completed, but there's still some bordering clients, notably DCAE, that still needs to be integrated. And that's the main thing there. So DCA team also requested that the output artifact should be configurable, P12 and PEM, and potentially some development with the certificate and renewal as a best effort to be
This security, it just say basically touch network elements, any for plug and play, ping and for software upgrade, and the bulky PM, they use this one, or all of use case, when they interface with the network elements, they will have this security protocol in place. Do you know?
So I think this is intended to be used by all of the use cases that might need to authenticate. But CMPV2, as I understand, is just one way to authenticate. I don't know if other people have other thoughts on this.
Drew, in your use case, did you use this CMP?
Well, for software upgrade, this security solution is some kind of underneath solution. So it shouldn't have any impact on the software upgrade procedure itself. Mm. I think it's the same thing applied to the plug and play procedure. So this is more like an underlay solution that you need to have the PF and some kind of security, either CMP V2 or something else to protect your communication with the DCAE.
Like TLS or something? Or?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so Joanne, maybe we need to also, for our use case, we need to look at that too.
Yeah.
If the PNF is sending up information. But I think in our case, the main interface externally is a PNF can send a VES event. And I think in order to send a VES event, you've already established a secure TLS connection with DCA VES collector. But we can look at it. I mean, it's maybe something we need to think about as well. I don't know if that'll impact us or not.
So the CMP assume they are the use case already developed, right? So we can just use it right now, or they continue going on right now for this use case. In other words.
Yeah. So I think CMP can sit on a RESTful interface, and it sits on at layer 5, I guess, or layer 3. So 0, 1, 2, 3. Yeah. So I think, you know, maybe we should look into it. I know Paweł Beniuski, who's working on this use case, who's working this.
Okay.
He can help answer the question if we need it for our project. So that's a good question, John.
One comment that for both slicing and the CMP V2, they have their own time slot for presentation. So you may need to reconsider the percentage in your presentation.
Right. Slicing and what was it? What was the other one?
The CMP V2.
Oh, CMP V2, yeah, okay. Okay, so that's a good point. Maybe I should just... I mean, this is meant to be a summary of all this stuff, so maybe that's a very good point. We'll move this to the end and skip it, but I'll just have it here for reference for people. Thank you, Zoo. That's a good point. Vimal, did you have any other comments, or Lukash, or anybody on the call? Do you have any other thoughts on anything? Okay, wow, time flies. Okay, so we're at time already. Okay, let me see.
Hey, Ben.
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
I want to take a look at the slides you put into one. Do you want to post the chat room? I want to take a look.
Yeah. I'm going to post these on the, they'll be uploaded to today's meeting. Let me give you the link to it right now here. Chat.
And also the bridge, when you do presentation, you're going to send the Zoom information out?
Yeah, absolutely, right.
Okay,
right.
Thank you.
Yeah. Where is the chat? Oh, here. Chat, okay. Sent to everybody. Okay, so this is today's meeting. And also, you should also get the notes in an email as well. I think we covered all the key things. Again, David McBride was supposed to present today, but he had to reschedule. So, okay, we're out of time. Thank you everybody for joining. Hope you found this useful, and see you in the virtual face-to-face. All right, thanks. Have a good
day. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.